thank you very much. This shul, I have to say, is one of the most welcoming shuls for us in all of Toronto. Whenever we want to do a program, the door is open to us, and frankly, if we don't call Rabbi Stern within a certain period of time, then he calls us to ask about having a program. This is really, it feels like home for us, so thank you very much. I also apologize for the different numberings on the Hebrew and English sheets. I don't know if anyone had trouble with this at their table. I overheard a little bit. You figured it out. Good. Thank you. So the topics I'd like to discuss this morning over the next 45 minutes or so, to an hour possibly, are... number one, the definition of Pirsumei Nisa, what we mean when we say that we light the menorah in order to publicize the miracle of Hanukkah. Where does that idea originate? And what exactly are we trying to accomplish? Also, the definition of Kiddush Hashem, of sanctifying Hashem's name, because that ties into Pirsumei Nisa. How we accomplish both when we light the menorah. And the question of whether we light the menorah for the world or for ourselves, as I put in the title, is the menorah a light to us or a light unto the nations? So we begin by looking at the issue of Pirsumei Nisa in and of itself. Pirsumei Nisa is an Aramaic term. It means publicizing the miracle. That's literally the term. You can hear related terms in Hebrew, obviously, nes, which we use to describe the public display of a miracle, and pirsum is an advertisement, publicity. So pirsumei nisa is the phrase that we use to indicate publicizing the miracle, in this case of Hanukkah. Note that pirsumei nisa is not limited to Hanukkah. What are some other occasions when we engage in pirsumei nisa? Sorry? Purim, right, with the Megillah. When? Someone said Pesach? Right? What do we do on Pesach? Let's presume Nisa. Oh, he opened the door. By the time we open the door, it's Hachi Tachlarek and Menashuk. Sorry? The Arba Kosos at the Seder in general, the Seder at the Four Cups in particular, but we have the Seder in general. When Hashem performs a miracle for us, we publicize it. Why do we do that? So if you take a look at your sheets, the source I'd like to bring, I believe it's on both sheets, yes, it's source number... so now I'm going to get into trouble. On the Hebrew sheets, it's source number 13. On the English sheets, it's source number 12. If you see a sheet that has Hebrew and English, that's the English one. Yes, some of them are one, some of them are two. So in any case, it's source number 12 is the one that you're looking for. From Rabbi Avram ben Arambam. Rabbi Avram, son of the Rambam, in his Tshuvos Ma'aseh Nisim, addresses the question of what we are doing when we engage in Pirsumei Nisa, publicizing the miracles of Hanukkah. There are sheets available on some of the tables here. He says, "Val karchach amru zal." I'm reading out of the Hebrew because that's the sheet that I have in front of me. I gave out all the English ones, but I'll translate as I go along. He says, "The sages said ki ahalal bimei Chanukah de'oraisa." That saying halal on Chanukah is a biblical mitzvah, which actually is subject to debate. But that's the quote here. Lo ki yimei Chanukah ksuvim batara u'mitzvas pirsumei nisa. It's not that the celebration of Chanukah is written in the Torah. You will not find Chanukah mentioned in the Chumash. It doesn't happen until long afterwards. So that's not it. There's no mitzvah of publicize the miracle of Hanukkah in the Chumash. However, we link it to the biblical instruction of do not desecrate the name of Hashem your God. And they said, by way of explanation of that statement, from the fact that the Torah says don't desecrate the name of Hashem, that means you should sanctify the name of Hashem. This is what we call the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying Hashem's name. And he continues to say, therefore we are instructed to publicize miracles wherever they take place, whenever they take place. That's the idea of Pirsumei Nisa, according to this line in Rabbi Avram ben Arambam. And in general, that's the consensus, is the idea that we publicize Hashem's miracles in order to sanctify His name. It's the fulfillment of Kiddush Hashem. If you take a look, it's source 14 on the Hebrew sheet, source 13 on the sheets that are Hebrew-English. The Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo, commenting on the tour, says, because of Otam Acher, he's giving you several reasons for lighting, and he says, "Shu kidei lefarsem hanes b'fnei kol ha'am." that it's in order to publicize the miracle before the entire nation, ulasader habrachos lifnehem, and to arrange the brachos, he's talking about Hallel, in front of them, sheyesh bazeh pirsum gadol Hashem yisbarach, because that has great publicity for Hashem, v'kiddush shemo, and a sanctification of his name, kishemavarchan oso b'makhelos, when we bless Hashem in great gatherings. So the idea is, we are Hashem's ad man team. We are the advertisers for Hashem. We let the world know what happened on Hanukkah, on Purim, on Pesach, whenever there is a miracle that that Hashem performs for us. That's the origin of Pirsumei Nisa. When it comes to menorah lighting, though, the mitzvah of lighting the menorah is actually separate from Pirsum, from publicizing the miracle, according to many authorities. We'll see the debate on it, but according to many authorities, they are separate. You can see that right off the bat in the Gemara in Shabbos. I brought it at the beginning of your source sheets as source number one. The Gemara in Shabbos discusses the mitzvah of lighting the menorah and says, Mevarech, you make the bracha of Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosav, v'tzivanu lahadlik ner shel Hanukkah. There's a debate about the word shel. How many people here say the word shel in the bracha? Some? How many people don't? Well, by definition, I hope that's the rest. It doesn't work so well in the song if you do it without the shell. It's hard to make it work, right? Lahadlik ner Chanukah, right? So you have to sort of dray the words out a little bit in order to make it work. But in any case, the Gemara here, in the version that I brought here, includes the word shell. There's a whole discussion about why you would include or not include the word shell. It's actually not just a peripheral issue. It's about the ner being the definition of Chanukah, as opposed to being an element that we associate with Hanukkah. Those who say Ner Hanukkah do so because it's what makes Hanukkah. That's the mitzvah of Hanukkah. Nonetheless, that's a side note. The Gemara says, we make the bracha of thank you Hashem for sanctifying us with your mitzvahs and instructing us to light the menorah. So the Gemara asks, v'heichan sivanu? Where did Hashem ever instruct us to light the menorah? You won't find that anywhere in the Chumash. There's no such thing. And the Gemara presents us with two answers. Rav Avia Amar Milo Tasur. Rav Avia says, because the Torah says, you shall not stray from after the instructions of the Rabbanan. This is an instruction of the Rabbanan. Side note, that leads to a great debate about whether that means that all rabbinic mitzvos are therefore biblical. Because now you've tied in this Rabbanan and said, well, that's a fulfillment of Lo Tasur. You shall not stray. Maybe. Rav Nechemia Amar Sha'al Avicha V'yageitcha Zekeinecha V'yom Rulach. Rav Nechemia says, different source, similar idea. We are taught to ask our ancestors and they will instruct us. Ask our elders and they will teach us. They told us to do this, therefore we do it. No one mentions Pirsumei Nisa. Neither answer ties it into sanctifying Hashem's name, publicizing the miracle. It's just not mentioned there. It's a rabbinic authority. It's minhag. What is it? It's not Pirsumei Nisa. That's one indication that, in fact, the mitzvah of lighting the menorah is separate from publicizing the nes. Rav Moshe Feinstein drew on this to rule regarding the case, which unfortunately is somewhat common, of a person who needs to light menorah and isn't going to have anybody see the menorah. What happens if a person gets back late from work or wherever it is, and no one's going to see the menorah, or as the Gemara puts it, a person who is traveling somewhere, and he stops off in some inn somewhere, perhaps there are people who aren't Jewish around, but there's no one Jewish to see the menorah. And they seem to assume that having only non-Jews see the menorah means you didn't fulfill Pirsumei Nisa, you didn't publicize the nes. I want to come back to that. That's a key point I want to return to. But that's the assumption that everybody, and certainly Rav Moshe Feinstein, seems to make. And he asks the question, so do I light the menorah at all? If it's just me, do I light the menorah? Well, we take a look at what happens on Purim regarding reading the Megillah. Let's say you have somebody who is all alone on Purim. Does that person read the Megillah? They don't have a shul, they don't have a minyan. Do they read the Megillah at all?
Yeah.
Yes. How do we know? Common sense. The Gemara Megillah actually records a debate. Rav Asi says one requires 10 for Megillah reading. Take a look, please, at source number 4 on the Hebrew sheets, 3 on the Hebrew English sheets. Every time I have to give the different numbers, I regret more and more that I have two different sets of sheets. Omar Rav. Rav says, Megillah bizmana korin osa filu biyachid. Rav says, if you're reading Megillah on time, meaning 14th or 15th of Adar, depending on whether you're a walled city or an unwalled city, he says, then you could read Megillah even alone. Shalom bizmana, but if you're reading it early, because remember that the villages, the outlying villages, would read on earlier days in order to be able to get everybody together on the market day. So if you're reading it early, ba'asara, then you need to have a minyan, says Rav. Rav Asi Omar bein bizmana bein shalom bizmana ba'asara. Rav Asi says, either way, you're supposed to have a minyan. Rashi there writes, it doesn't mean that it really has to be a minyan, even within the view of Rav Asi. Take a look at the next source on your sheets. It's number 5 on the Hebrew only. It's number 4 on the Hebrew English. Rav Asi Amar Bein Bizmana Bein Shalom Bizmana. Rav Asi said, either way, mitzvah lachzar achar asara. The mitzvah is, go get 10. Mishum pirsumei nisa, in order to publicize the miracle. Aval ilo ashka chasara, but if you don't find 10, Lomar Rav Asi de lo likri. Rav Asi isn't saying then you don't read the Megillah. That's it. No mitzvah since you can't find 10. Shein iser kriyasa biyachid. There's no prohibition against reading the Megillah alone. Ela mitzvah legrosa v'asara. But the mitzvah is read it with 10 if that's at all possible. Separating out reading the Megillah and publicizing the miracle of Hanukkah. Once you say I can read it alone, right? There's no publicity to the world. Publicizing it to myself, that's hardly publicity. Right? You don't get hired again to do an ad next time if you're only publicizing it to yourself. So the idea seems to be that I fulfill Megillah reading even if there's no element of publicity. That's the way Rashi takes it. There is a discussion in the Rif about whether that's really what Rav Asi means. Maybe he really does believe that 10 is an absolute requirement. Nonetheless, number one, that may not be what Rav Asi meant, and number two, we follow Rav. We follow the view of Rav. You would read Megillah as common sense dictates, even if you are alone. Well, the same thing is true regarding Hanukkah, because Pirsumei Nisa, publicizing the miracle, is separate from a menorah, and therefore Moshe Feinstein said that one should light even if he's going to be alone. And he pointed to a comment of the Shilte Giborin. If you take a look on your sheets, I believe I brought it. Did I bring it? No, I didn't bring it. Sorry. The Shilte Giborim, writing back in, I'm going to say the 13th, maybe 14th century, said that if a person is traveling among, right? So I did write it. Oh, because I brought it from the Sharet Zion. Okay, so let's do the Sharet Zion's digest. He has a longer discussion of the Shilte Giborim, but if I bothered to bring the Sharet Zion, I might as well use it. Thank you. Thank you. Number 3 on the sheets that are Hebrew only, number 2 on the sheets that are Hebrew English. He quotes the view of the Chemed Moshe. Thank you. The Magen Avram's view, Rav Avram Gambina, writing in the 17th century, said in fact you wouldn't light the menorah if you're the only one who's going to see the menorah. But then he quotes the view of the Chemed Moshe, who goes on at length to discuss this issue, and says, Dim shacha honenas, if a person forgot to light the menorah, or a person couldn't help it, something happened. V'lo hidlik ad sheyashnu kulam, and he didn't light until everybody was asleep. So what should you do? Yakitz bezo gilamayhem v'yadlik. You should wake up 2 or 3 people, and you should light. He's not satisfied with waking up 1. He wants you to wake up 2 or 3. I'm not really clear on why he requires 2 or 3. I say this somewhat flippantly, that maybe it's so they can gang up on him. But I don't know why he requires 2 or 3. If publicity means I show somebody, then it should just be 1. Yeah, what's 2 or 3? I don't really know. Maybe it's because if you wake up 2 or 3 people, then the odds are that one of them will be awake long enough to actually see you light the menorah. Yeah. Who says, though? Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. Right. That's part of the miracle of Hanukkah. We're reliving the battle of the Misyavnim and the Chashmonoim. Well, he continues to say, "Ve'im hi efshar lahakitzam," and if you can't wake them up, lo and behold, they're sturdy sleepers. Mikamakom yadlik v'yivarech. He says, you light anyway, and you make the bracha. In other words, don't take the cop-out answer. The cop-out answer is always, well, do the mitzvah, just don't say the bracha. Right? Just light the menorah and don't make a bracha on it. He says, no, light and make a bracha. Because he says, if you were to take the view of the Magen Avram, or Avram Gambiner, who says, in fact, that you don't light when you're alone, then if you were in some place where there was no one around, you didn't even have a household people shum, you didn't even have people from the household there, yalik below bracha, below reinu zilaposkim, he says, then you would say, would the Magen Avram really say you don't light if you're off in the middle of nowhere? I haven't seen that, he says, in any authorities, except the Magen Avram. But he says just the opposite. The Shilti Yiborim wrote in the name of the Or Zeruah, De'avimu bein anachem levado, Sarach lahadlik, that even if you're alone among a general population, nonetheless you need to light. Umashram bidekasav came v'pshitos she'alik v'bracha, and from the fact that the Shilti Yiborim just says, of course you light, it sounds like you light with a bracha. Because otherwise you would have had to say, light without a bracha. The default when you say light a menorah is, make the brachos. That's my assumption. So the ruling that he gives is that you do elavad idim yochol afarsem adlaka bifnei rabim yoser adiv. Certainly, he says, if you can publicize it, that's a greater thing to do, because then you fulfill lighting and you fulfill presuming, so you publicize the miracle. But he says, avali lack on ashim, if there's no one around, bishvil zeh lo yivat ala mitzvah. You shouldn't now nullify the mitzvah because, well, there's nobody around to see it. He says it's not. It's just not so. Kein nirali, so it appears to me. V'chein noag in ha'olam, and that's the practice that people follow. That's the adkan lashon, or the end of the quote from the Shilti Giborim. That's his statement. Now, we're going to come back to this point in a second because it's not quite so clear. But we have to address a side note. What's the deadline for lighting menorah? The deadline. The deadline? Yeah. When nobody's passing in the street, right? The Gemara says, Ad shetichla regel min ashuk, until people stop passing in the street, right? It's actually a little bit more elaborate than that. If you take a look on your sheets, it's number 6 on the sheets, with only Hebrew 5 on the sheets that are Hebrew and English. Ad shetichla regel min ashuk, until travelers cease from the market. V'ad kama, how long is that? Sorry? Yeah, it's the second 6 on the Hebrew only. Thanks, I needed you to spell that one out too. The Amar Rava Barachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ad Dekal Yo Rigla De Tarmodoi. So Rabbi Yochanan tells us the deadline is until the Tarmodoi stop walking around in the street. That's the literal statement. I'm going to come back to those Tarmodoi because they actually matter a great deal for where we're going with this. But he says until the Tarmodoi walkers halt in the street. Well, if publicity is not a requirement of the mitzvah, then why do I have to stop when people stop walking around in the streets? Why give me a time limit at all? I can light all night. Why am I limited to until the Tarmodoi finish walking around in the street? As a matter of fact, Tosfos rules that you have to light at that earlier time. Once people stop walking around in the street, it's all over. Lighting is gone. Take a look at the Rambam. It's source number 7 on the Hebrew only. Source number 6 on the Hebrew and English. Shachach al hizid. If a person forgot or intentionally did not light, below hidlikim shkias achame, did not light at sunset. There's a whole other discussion about whether sunset is really the earliest time. Right? That's its own discussion. Is sunset, is it a little before the stars come out? But he says, you didn't light. You continue and light until people cease to travel in the market. How long is that? Oh, yes. Yeah. So he says, half an hour or more. Once the time passes, ain't no madlik. No more lighting. Well, why not? Is this maybe proof that we say that Pirsumei Nisa is an inherent part of lighting, and you can't light if you're not going to publicize the miracle? Would he then say, you also don't light alone, and you don't light if you're off in the middle of nowhere? Is he really going to say that? Maybe. But there's another possibility. Another possibility is that this is simply the way the Chachamim designed the mitzvah. Meaning, this is a mitzvah derabbanan. Granted, our links to the biblical in terms of publicizing and following what the Rabbanan say, fundamentally it's a rabbinic mitzvah. And the Rabbanan get to define how you perform the mitzvah. And they say, this is a mitzvah for the beginning of the night. Yes, it's true
it's true that you could end up lighting later on without publicity, just according to simple logic. Nonetheless, they designed the mitzvah not to be performed in that way. And the Rabbanan do that frequently, not frequently, but they do that sometimes with mitzvos. For example, when it comes to Kriya Shema at night, to saying Shema at night, there is a view that one is supposed to say Shema at night before Chatzos, before the middle of the night. Even though the nighttime Shema should be really for all night long. Right? There's a third view that says only in the beginning of the night, but I'm not addressing that right now. The view of the Chachamim as presented in the first Mishnah in Brachos is you only say Shema at night until the middle of the night. Why? Anybody remember? Why do they say only until the middle of the night? Because people will forget. Exactly. Thank you. Yeah, because you'll come home and you'll say, well, I'm going to eat a little bit, I'll take a nap a little bit, and eventually I'll get around to saying Shema. And what'll happen is eventually I'll get around to getting a good night's sleep. That's what's going to happen. And I won't end up saying Shema. So therefore they said, say it by the middle of the night. So much so that they actually said, don't say it later. There's a whole discussion between the Chachamim and Rabban Gamliel. Do you say it later? We say in practice, if you miss saying it by the middle of the night, you do say it. You do say it later in the night. We do say you could say it until dawn. But the position of the Rabbanan is don't say it after midnight, even though technically that should fit. Nonetheless, they have a special concern. They want us to make sure that we are going to say Shema on time, and therefore they say, don't do it later. And similarly, they want us to make sure that we're going to light the menorah and have people see it, and therefore they say, that's your time for lighting the menorah. That's another way to understand the Rambam. Even though in practice, we actually disagree. In practice, we do say that one who missed it in the beginning of the night continues to say it all night long. It's source number 8 on the Hebrew-only sheets, source number 7 on the Hebrew and English. The Ramah says, Yesh Omrim, some say, Shabizman Azem Shamalikin Bifnim, that nowadays we light indoors anyway, so we're already not emphasizing this idea of publicity. Ein Sarach Lizar Lahadle Kodem Shetech LaRegam and Ashuk, so there's no need for us to be careful about lighting before people stop traveling in the market. It doesn't matter, we're indoors anyway. Umikomakom Tov Lizar Gam Bizman Azem, but it's still good to be careful nowadays. That's the Ramah. He means indoors. The ones who are worried about danger and are lighting where no one else in the public can see it.
Yeah.
And the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber of Yosef Karo, says, "Umi Yohanim Ilu Lachatchila." He says that's only initial advice. Avalam Avar Zazman Velo Idlik. But if the time passed and you didn't light, Madlik Vaholech Kol Alayla, then you would light all night long. So to summarize what we have so far, we've said that lighting and Pirsum Hanes are two separate elements. We said that you would light, it seems, even if you couldn't publicize the miracle. And we said that the source for publicizing the miracle at all is Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying Hashem's name. One parenthetical note that I think is interesting. Once you tell me that there's a separate mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa, publicizing the Nes, right? If we say that's true, could I just invent my own Pirsumei Nisa? Could I invent my own practice? Let's say I decide that Pirsumei Nisa means for me to take a billboard and write on it Al Hanisim, or something, you know, some similar description of what happened on Hanukkah, and put it up next to the highway. Maybe that should be my Pirsumei Nisa. Sorry? Better not? Okay. The reason why this... I think I got the sense of what that was anyway, yeah.
Would that sign be lighting one light every night, the next 8 lights?
Right, so let's say it's not. It's not. No menorah appears on this sign. No olives were crushed for the making of this billboard. This is simply a billboard. It matters a great deal because we say in halacha that Pirsumei Nisa, publicizing the miracles of Hanukkah, overrides many other mitzvos. So maybe putting up my billboard overrides many other mitzvos. Also, the Sfas Emes entertains this idea. The Gera Rebbe, he throws out this idea, but he also throws out this idea. He says, you can't do it. He says, it's nice to publicize the miracles of Hanukkah. That's certainly true. But he says that in practice, this would not override it would not have the same power that the rabbinically enacted publicity methods actually have. It's source number 9 on the Hebrew only sheets. It's verse number 8 on the Hebrew and English sheets. The upersume nisa b'li mitzvah, publicizing the miracle without performing one of these mitzvah activities. Kigon shiir tzela hosif pirsum alanim ala mitzvah. Like if you just want to add publicity to the mitzvah, pshita she'ein docha filu isid derabbanan. He says that clearly would not override anything else. It doesn't have the authority that lighting menorah has. We talk about lighting menorah as being so important that it would override buying wine for Kiddush. We wouldn't do that for, you know, your billboard up on the side of the highway. Okay. I want to return to the case of the traveler who was alone, who is living in an inn somewhere, in a hotel somewhere, and he wants to know whether he should light so that his non-Jewish neighbors there are able to see the menorah. Is there an element of pirsum? Is there an element of publicizing the miracle? What would you say? I hear a no. Yeah, I hear a no. Anybody agree? Disagree? Yes. Yes. Okay, now we have a fight. Okay. We didn't even have to wake anybody up. Although maybe I did along the way. So what's the reason to say no? Right. So is there any benefit to having them see it?
No.
No. Okay, and?
You're still publicizing it. Maybe not to the ideal proof, but you're still publicizing it.
Right. So this is exactly the question that I'd like to spend the next several minutes discussing. Rav Soloveitchik is quoted as saying that there is a mitzvah of publicizing and lighting the menorah for non-Jews to see as well. That's the position that Rav Soloveitchik establishes, and he quotes you several sources that seem to support this idea. For example, take a look, please, on your sheets at source number 10 on the Hebrew only, source number 9 on the Hebrew and English. I mentioned the Talmud Doi before. Rabbi Yochanan said that you light until the Rigla de Talmud Doi, the travelers, the Talmudian travelers, leave the marketplace. So Rashi says, who are they? The Talmud Doi are its Shem Umma. Tarmoda would be the name of the nation. Tarmodoi are people of Tarmoda. Malakde Eitzim Dakim. Their practice was that they would collect small pieces of wood. Umisakvin Bashuk, Ajahochim Bnei Ashuk Levatea Mishach Ashecha. They would wait out in the marketplace until everybody went home at dark and realized, hey, you know what? We need firewood. Umavirim Bibateim, or they go to light the fire in their homes. Ukshatzvichim Leitzim, when they need wood, Yotzim Bekonin Mehem. They go out and buy from these Tarmodoi. So the Tarmodoi is some nationality, and they're not Jewish. It's some ummah, some nation, says Rashi. So, the Rav argued, the mitzvah of lighting is light as long as these Tarmodoi, who are not Jewish, are out there in the marketplace. If I care that these Tarmodoi should see the menorah, then clearly it's for non-Jews as well. Similarly, in Al Hanisim, we say we want to create a great name for Hashem, Be'olamecha, in your world, Hashem. Not just to Jews, but to the world at large. Rav Shimon Sofer, writing in the responses, Oruz Tshuva, makes an interesting point along these lines. Take a look, please, at source number 12 in the Hebrew, only 11 in the Hebrew and English. He says, Vihine, Hadar Bein Goyim, somebody who lives among the nations, nearly mechuyav lahadlik al Pesach beisu mibachutz or bachalon asmucha. It appears to me that he is also obligated to light at the entrance to his house outside, or in a window close to the street so that they can see, so that the world can see. The Esparsim Hanes Bein Hagoyim, so that the miracle will be publicized among the nations. Sheyishalu Maihu, because they'll ask, hey, what's that about? And that way, they will know, because it will become known to them, this event of Hanukkah and the miracle itself. And he says, I'll prove it to you. I have a pasuk. Hashem says, my name will be elevated and I will be sanctified. No, Yizgadal v'Yizkadash. It's the same language that we use in Kaddish. And I will become known before the eyes of many nations. Not just us. Yeah, and that's what he's pointing to. The Kami Kravs, the Morim Al Zeh, he says there are many psukim that support this idea. That Hashem cares about the desecration of his name among the nations and about the sanctification of his name among them, right? What is Moshe's argument? Lama Yomru Agoyim, right? What the nations are going to say, right? Lama Yomru Mitzrayim, what's Egypt going to say? Clearly, Hashem cares about his reputation, not just among us, but among the nations as a whole. So Shimon Sofer says, absolutely, go ahead, light the menorah in front of the world. He also parts out the Talmud Doi. There is an alternate explanation, by the way, of the Talmud Doi that suggests that the reason to light then is because there are Jews who are going out to get firewood from the Talmud Doi. So that's the opposing view. But that would seem to indicate that there is, in fact, a mitzvah of lighting for the world to see, not just for Jews to see. The Lubavitcher Rebbe had an interesting thought on this in his Sichos. He suggested that, on Purim, yes, he knew that was coming with the big menorahs, thank you, and the billboard. But he said, you note that there's an opposition between Hanukkah and Purim. On Purim, what we do is internal. We read the Megillah in shul. No one says, let's go out there and read the Megillah out in the streets. But on Hanukkah, the menorah is available for everybody to see. So he suggested that it's because on Purim we're celebrating physical survival. Everyone fights for physical survival. That's not uniquely Jewish. Whereas on Hanukkah we fight for spiritual survival, and that's a special message of adopting the Torah, which is an important message for the world. You could quibble and quarrel with it. It's a nice Torah. But in any case, those views, the Rav's view or Shimon Sofer's view, the Lubavitcher Rebbe's view, indicate, yes, I should light for the world to see. Persume Nisa includes my non-Jewish neighbors. However, I have to say that they are the minority. Not the non-Jewish neighbors. The view that says you should light for them. Maybe that's off of certain parts of Bathurst. Not in general. The general approach, Rav Moshe Feinstein certainly, is that there's no mitzvah of lighting for the world to see. The mitzvah is just for me to light among Jews. Well, now I need to understand why. Because Rav Shimon Sofer makes a compelling case that Kiddush Hashem is meant to be for the world. Kiddush Hashem is not just meant to be for my family. See, it's important to go back to the sources on Kiddush Hashem itself. If you take a look on your sheets at source number... Here, this is a tricky one. Source number 18 on the Hebrew only, source number 16 on the Hebrew and English. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin 74b. Okay, 16 on the Hebrew and English, 18 on the Hebrew only. Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yaakov cites Rabbi Yochanan is saying, Ein parhesia p'chusa me'asara b'nei Adam. Public means 10 people. Now, he's discussing a particular case of Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem we like to think of as go out and behave well in public, right? That's Kiddush Hashem. We tell our kids when they're in school and you're going to go out on a trip somewhere, right? Make sure you behave properly. It's an issue of Kiddush Hashem, and we hope that works. It does sometimes. Right. And that's right. So that's this Gemara exactly. Thank you. The more morbid element of Kiddush Hashem is the one that you just mentioned. And that is the following: we are taught that there are three mitzvos for which one is supposed to give up his life rather than violate those laws. Right? Adultery, idolatry, and murder are the big three. However, there's another rule, which is that if someone is trying to get me to violate the Torah in public, then I must also be willing to surrender my life rather than violate violate the Torah. There's more to it than that. It's more complex than that. But that's the basic concept. So the question is, what does public mean? And that's where this Gemara comes into play. He says public means 10 people. Now, is that 10 people or is that 10 Jews? So he says pshita, right? It's not 10 men. That seems fairly clear. They're not about to say Kaddish for this person who just gave up his life rather than so he says Pshita Yisraelim Ba'inon. He says it's clear that it must be Yisraelim, 10 Jews. Why? Dichsiv Nikdashti B'soch B'nei Yisrael. The pasuk from the Chumash, I will be sanctified before the in front of or among the Jewish people. That's our pasuk for Kiddush Hashem. Well, if that's our pasuk for Kiddush Hashem, it's only among Jews. And in fact, when the Rambam codifies the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem in his Sefer HaMitzvos, it's mitzvah saseh tes, it's his ninth mitzvah, the Rambam says that the mitzvah is specifically among Jews, among 10 Jews from that pasuk. So does the Sefer HaChinuch, so does the Sefer HaMitzvos HaKatan. They all take it as the idea that Kiddush Hashem is something for Jews to see, not for the world. Interestingly, there may be a mitzvah for non-Jews as well, along these lines, regarding their mitzvahs. Remember, the non-Jews have the seven mitzvahs. They might have a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem as well. Take a look, please, at source number, this one source up from where we were. So it's number 17 on the Hebrew only, number 15 on the Hebrew and English. Bo minei Rabbi Ami. They asked Rabbi Ami a question. Ben Noach mitzuva kedushas Hashem, or ein mitzuva kedushas Hashem? Is someone who is not Jewish instructed about this mitzvah of sanctifying Hashem's name and not violating his laws in public or not? So Amar Abaye Tashma. Abaye says, look, Shava mitzvahs nistavu bnei Noach. We learned they have seven mitzvahs, and one of them wasn't Kiddush Hashem. Vim Isa, if this were really true, Tam Nehavim, then you would have eight mitzvahs. So clearly not. Huh, that was easy. The Amar Le Rava, Rava says, no, it doesn't work that way. Inu v'chol abizrayhu, because it could be, you would say, this is a function of each mitzvah. In other words, they have a mitzvah of don't kill. So part of the mitzvah of don't kill is sanctify Hashem's name by refusing to kill. It's part of each mitzvah. So the Gemara says, well, my havi Allah, so what's the rule? The truth is, we don't have Noachites lining up with this question. But theoretically, what would we do if someone asked the question? So Amar Rav Ada Bar Ava, Rav Ada Bar Ava says, I'll give you a proof. Ami Bei Rav, they said it in the yeshiva, from the following source. There is indeed a case in Tanakh in which someone who isn't Jewish comes to a Jew, in this case to a Navi actually, to Elisha, and asks him, what should I do? I am being compelled to violate one of my mitzvos, Avodah Zarah in particular, I'm being compelled to participate in idolatry, and am I supposed to give up my life? What should I do? Naaman, the famous Naaman, right, the one who gets dipped in the Yarden and he's healed of his tzaras, comes to Elisha and says, I don't know what to do. For this thing, Hashem should forgive your servant, meaning himself. My master, the king, comes into the house of idolatry to bow there. He leans on me. And I bow too. What can I do? Uchsiv and Elisha's response is, Vayomar lo, lech l'shalom. He says, go in peace. He says, what am I going to tell you to do? He doesn't say, give up your life. He doesn't say, you have to worry about Kiddush Hashem. V'im Isa, if a non-Jew is instructed, in fact, in Kiddush Hashem, lo lemalai. So you shouldn't say to him, go in peace. He should say, sorry, pal, you can't do that again. So the Gemara says, well, maybe not. That may not be an adequate proof. Maybe habitzina habifarhesia. That may be considered to be private. That may not be considered a public event. That may be considered a private event. What happens there in the idolatrous area, and therefore he's exempt from having to give up his life in order to assist. So what emerges there is, and in fact Tosfos concludes, he's not obligated to give up his life, the Rambam brings it as well, what that shows is, there is an idea in general, for an Akum, for someone who isn't Jewish, to give up his life, rather than violate one of his mitzvahs in public. What gets Naaman off the hook, is the fact that it's private. It's a private worship ceremony. And there's a whole discussion about why it was private. That's its own element. But the point is, the non-Jew also has this mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem in public. Well, how do I define public? For him, is it also 10 Jews? So the Minchas Chinuch suggests that the Ramban's view is that yes, it's actually 10 Jews. The Ran disagrees. But the point anyway, out of all of this is, that the Gemara says that Kiddush Hashem, Pirsume Nisa, is in front of 10 Jews in general, whether it is for the non-Jew or not, is a side note, but in general it's supposed to be in front of Jews. And you think about the other cases of Pirsumei Nisa, publicizing the Nes, right? We have the four cups of wine that we mentioned before at the Seder. We don't invite in the world to go see the four cups. We don't invite in the world to hear Megillas Esther. So far, I would give one answer as to why the menorah might not be for the world. Even if I believe that Kiddush Hashem, one reason why the menorah may not be for the world, for those who disagree with the Rav, the position of Rav Moshe, is because Kiddush Hashem is among Jews. There's one problem with that. Aside from the proofs we brought before, like about the Talmudai, there are all sorts of lines in the Gemara about Kiddush Hashem, which indicate Kiddush Hashem is a mitzvah among non-Jews. I'll give you my favorite. It's a Gemara in Yoma. If you're looking at the Hebrew sheets, it's 19. If you're looking at the Hebrew English, it's 17. A beautiful passage of Gemara. The Torah says, V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha, you shall love Hashem your God. And the Gemara explains, Sheheshem Shamayim Misahev Al Yadcha. This means that the name of heaven should be beloved because of your deeds. That's my mitzvah, to make the name of Hashem beloved. Shehekare v'shona, that a person should read and study Torah, umishamesh tamidei chachamim, and serve Torah scholars, v'yehemasau matanu benachasim abrios, and he should interact gently with other people. There's another edition of the Gemara that adds in also, he should interact honestly with other people. We like that. The ma abrios omros olav, and then what will people say about him? Ashrei aviv shalimdo Torah, Ashrei rabo shalimdo Torah. How wonderful, his parents taught him Torah, his Rebbe taught him Torah. Oilam labrio shalom lamdu Torah. It's bad for people when they don't learn Torah. Ploni shalom shalimdo Torah, ra'u kamenorim drachav, kamen mesukanim masav. This person who was taught Torah, look how pleasant are his ways. Look how refined he is. Alav akasiv omer, and regarding such a person, the pasuk says in Yeshaya, Vayomer li avdi ata Yisrael asher b'chayas ba'ar, Hashem said to me, you are my servant, I am glorified by you and your deeds. That's what we want. That's Kiddush Hashem. And it didn't say anything here about in front of Jews. It said, Ma'abrios omros olav. What do people in general say about him? It isn't about Jews. It's about the world. And I could go on and on, but I won't because it's getting late. But we have all sorts of texts that show that Kiddush Hashem is not just among Jews. Kiddush Hashem is among the world. So I have to throw out my first answer. My first answer was, you don't light menorah in front of the world because after all, the Kiddush Hashem is only to Jews. Frankly, I don't buy it. It's not there. The evidence isn't there. We can offer, though, a separate answer. A second approach. And the second approach would be that the in terms of the goal of Kiddush Hashem and the goal of Pirsumei Nisa, when we do Pirsumei Nisa with the cups of wine at the Seder, do we just pick up four cups of wine and drink them and that's it? No, we have the whole Magid, right? What happens if somebody sits down at the table on Seder night? He's very eager. He loves this mitzvah of the Arba Kosos. He's very into the grape juice. And he says, you know what? I want to fulfill this mitzvah right away. And he takes four cups, fills them up with grape juice, and downs them. 1, 2, 3, 4.
That was clear position.
Yeah, that's not the mitzvah of Arba Kosos. It has to be with the story. Right? You can't do that without the Magid. Okay. What about Purim? On Purim, I'm not doing the abacosos on Purim. That's a separate discussion. What about on Purim? On Purim, we read the Megillah, right? We retell the entire story so that the participants in this actually will become familiar with the story of the Nes. What about the non-Jew who travels down the street and sees my menorah? Is he going to have a clue what Hanukkah is about?
He might ask.
If he comes knocking on your door, what are you going to do? Wrong yantif. The truth of the matter is that, yeah, I moved here from Allentown, Pennsylvania. Allentown is Pennsylvania Dutch country. And their practice is that pretty much for all of December, they all light a single candle. It tends to be electric, but sometimes real candles. And they leave them in their window. the whole month long. They have a candle in their window. So the first night of Hanukkah is wonderful. Everybody lights the menorah. Yeah, I have no idea why they light their candle. I lived there for 8 years. I never, you know, knocked on somebody's door to say, excuse me, what are you doing? Why are you lighting that candle? The answer may well be because my neighbors are. I don't know. But I have no idea what the symbolism is of this candle. And frankly, they never knocked on my door to ask me about the menorah. Not the first night and not any other night. The idea of Pirsum Hanes as Kiddush Hashem, as sanctifying Hashem's name, must have some kind of retelling of the story. There has to be some information passed along. Otherwise, you don't know what in the world this menorah is. Yeah, the Jews have some holiday, I know, because I heard on the radio, I listened to 680, and it said it's the Festival of Lights. But beyond that, I mean, there has to be some publicity of the Nes itself. We say this regarding the mitzvah specifically. For example, because we're a little short on time, I'm not going to go into the text itself, but I brought it here. The Gemara discusses whether you read Megillah in a language that somebody understands. In other words, let's say someone comes to shul who doesn't understand the Megillah when he hears it read. Right? He sits there in shul for Megillah reading. Did he fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah? The answer is yes. But Rashi says, you know why? Because he's going to turn to the person next to him and say, what is this? And that person is going to explain it during Haman. So he doesn't miss any of the words, of course. But the idea is that you'll actually inquire and hear what the explanation is, why it is that we're reading the Megillah, what the story is about. Tosfos makes the same point regarding menorah. We know that the Gemara presents three different ways to light the menorah. The first view is one candle. This is what the Pennsylvania Dutch do. One candle every night, and that's it. Not adding, not subtracting, not one candle per person. One candle, period. That's it. Then we have the second view, right? What's the second view? Right. The second view is a candle for each member of the household. And then the third view is the one that people generally do, which is we add one candle a night. Yes, Beis Shammai has a view that we descend. Not my point right now. The point is that you're lighting a certain number of candles to show what night of Hanukkah it is. So, Tosfos raises the question. If you're lighting one candle per person and one candle per night, how in the world are people going to have any clue when they look in your window what night of Hanukkah it is? I mean, not for Tosfos, when they look at the, you know, what you have outside the house. How are they going to have any clue what night it is? And so he stresses, this only works if you're lighting one for the entire household. Now today we have our fancy menorahs, and we could put one menorah here and one menorah there. My point is that Tosfos takes it as a given that we only add candles per night if that's actually going to show the world what night of Hanukkah it is. Not if it's just going to lead to confusion. The person looking has to understand what it is that we're doing. And indeed, if you go back for a second to the source that I brought in, source number 12 on the Hebrew sheets, in number 11 on the Hebrew and English, Rav Shimon Sofer said that, mentioned this as well. When he talked about the mitzvah being in front of non-Jews as well, he said, you have to light at the entrance to your home outside or by a window that's closed to the public. The Esparse Manes Ben Agoyim, the miracle will be publicized among the nations. Sheyishalu Mayhu. They'll ask, what is this? They're going to knock on your door. I'm sending them all to you. And that way, the deed will become known. The miracle will become known. That's the idea. Part of this, I think, goes back to a philosophical point about what we mean when we say Kiddush Hashem. What are we trying to accomplish with Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying Hashem's name? What's our goal? What do we want to have come out of it? When I sanctify Hashem's name in the eyes of some person out there, what do I want to achieve?
That
people will think that God is wonderful. We don't want to use the words people think God is great, but I hate to tell you that's exactly what we're saying. That's what we're saying, right? That's one idea. What's another idea? Sorry?
Monotheism, one God.
Monotheism, one God. But fits into this. It's attracting people to Torah. Attracting people to follow what Hashem says. If I take the view that the purpose of Kiddush Hashem is to make people want to follow the mitzvos, then it's for us. Because we're not proselytizers. We're not looking to win converts. If they want to come, wonderful. We accept them with open arms. But we're not, you know, out there trying to convert people. That's one school of thought. The other school of thought is that it's just that people should say, oh, wow, that's amazing. Look at that. This thing is for real. There were miracles. And in that case, it applies to the world as a whole. It's two different types of Kiddush Hashem. So in summary, we understand that what we're trying to accomplish on Hanukkah when we light the menorah is, number one, lighting the menorah because that's a mitzvah. The Rabbanan told us to do it. And number two, Kiddush Hashem, that we want to sanctify Hashem's name. We understand as well that that Kiddush Hashem defines to a certain extent the limits of the mitzvah in terms of the time in which we're going to light it and trying to display it in public. But also that there's a major view presented here. I quoted Rav Moshe Feinstein, as always, for the last word, please ask Rabbi Stern. He's the Marad Asra. But the position of Rav Moshe is that you would light even if no one was going to see it. Because you still have the mitzvah of lighting, even if you don't have Pirsum Nisa, even if you haven't publicized it. First stop is wake up two or three people and good luck. The second stop is to light anyway, even if you're alone. Then as far as this issue of, is there Pirsum Nisa for the nations as a whole? Is Hanukkah a light to the nations or just to us? There is a view that it's a light to the nations. We quoted Rav Soloveitchik, we quoted Rav Shimon Sofer. There is indeed such a view that it's for the world at large. And there's also a view that suggests not, either because they believe Kiddush Hashem is a mitzvah of Nikdashti B'soch B'nei Yisrael, Hashem should be sanctified among us, or because the menorah doesn't convey enough to the onlooker. The person outside who's looking in and seeing my menorah just isn't going to get anything out of it. He doesn't get the story out of it. And therefore, it's not for him. One final thought. From the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes says that there is a precedent in the Torah itself for Pirsumei Nisa, and that is the Karban Toda. If something happens to me, I'm saved from some danger, I'm supposed to bring a Karban Toda, a thanks offering. I go to the Beis HaMikdash, I bring a Karban, I bring 40 loaves of bread, I share it with people, and so we celebrate what Hashem did for us. And the same thing is true when we do this. It's like our Karban Toda. And he also said it's an extension of the miracle itself. When we publicize the miracle that Hashem performed for us, we extend the nes. Nes in its literal meaning. The word nes doesn't mean miracle. The word nes means a banner, right? A flag. Something out there for the world to see. So Hashem did that in the beginning when he performed the miracle for everybody to see. And when we promote it for the world, or for the Jews, however you take Pirsumei Nisa, then we extend that miracle into the world around us, continuing the illumination provided by the Nes. Thank you very much. Next week, God willing, we have a seminar at Or Chaim. We're going to have multiple classes. It'll be starting with Minyan at, I think we said 8 o'clock. Does that sound right? 8:15, thank you. You can daven here, and then you can go over there. I don't want to pull anybody out of the minyan here. But then you can go over there. There'll be breakfast. There'll be shiurim by several of the Avreichim. Rabbi Weber from Clan Park, Rabbi Gemara as well, will be giving shiurim. And I want to also make sure to mention, as many of you already know, many of you already attend, Itamar Zolberg, one of our Avreichim, gives a shiur here on Monday evenings.